The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Rob Cohen. Rob is the director of NIH's GWAC program. NIH and Rob run three major GWACs, CIOSP3, CIOSP3 Small Business, and the newly awarded, just recently awarded, CIOCS. Man, that's a lot of C's in there. Rob, welcome to the show.
Sure is. Thank you, Roger.
Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation today, get an update on your programs. As I calculate it, and I'm not very good at math, your family at GWACs are valued or have a ceiling of close to $50 billion. Is that right?
It's actually $60
billion. Okay. GWACs. See, I told you I wasn't very good at math.
So. Each of them are $20 billion each.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you just awarded CIOCS last month, right? In April?
We awarded CIOCS in April, which was the contract that replaces the ECS3 GWAC, which was in place for 10 years, and OMB executive agent GWAC for mostly IT products related services, and with a new twist of really focusing on cloud and the managed services area.
Right. Okay. And we're going to dive into that contract a little bit more. But just real quickly, the other two contracts, the CIOSP3, large, open, and small business, those go to about 2022. Is that right? That's right.
They were awarded about 2 years ago.
Okay. So, yeah. So you're set to go then, right, for the next 7 or 8 years? That's pretty good. That's a good place to be, isn't it?
A lot of work's been going into setting up this the suite of vehicles that are available to all the federal agencies to really meet all the IT needs that they have out there, and a lot of effort and a lot of preparation to develop these contracts so that that we have a full service for CIOs out there in the federal government, so that they can come to us and know that no matter what type of IT they're looking to buy, that they can use these GWACs to get at.
Issue, as you know, Rob, we've talked about it before, contract duplication, near and dear to my heart. This is the IT GWACs, yours, NASA SOUP, and GSA's as well, collectively, I think, it could have a profound impact on reducing contract duplication. We got to get people to use them more, right? And along those lines, I think one of the things I think would be great for our audience and instructive, if you could talk a little bit about, the IT GWACs, and you've gone through it now, you're a veteran of it. The IT GWACs have a very robust business planning process, a coordination process, and a review process by the Office of Management and Budget. And that's, the underlying statute, Clinger-Cohen Act, that provided OMB the authority, OFPP the authority to designate government-wide agents for the acquisition of information technology. And that's what these GWACs are. And since you just awarded CIOCS, I'm going to have trouble with that during the show, but can you talk about that business case planning process and what you had to go through to, get that up and running and acquisition planning, that sort of thing, as a first step?
Sure. So back in 1996, when the Clinger-Cohen Act passed, it called for GWACs, be developed at certain federal agencies in the government. And part of that process was having to develop a business case showing that there's a need for these contracts. But also showing that you had the ability and the resources to manage these types of contracts. So we spend a lot of time over the past few years working with OMB and also working with federal CIOs to develop these contracts with a lot of input from industry, a lot of input from those federal agencies to put this together in a business case. And really the business case is to really show that there is a need for these contracts, that they're necessary, and that the federal government wants them, and that the agencies out there want them because they want to be able to use them. So we had a pretty smooth process because we've been doing this for 20 years.
Right.
But there is an awful lot of research that goes into this in developing these business cases, and because you really need to prove to OMB that there's a need, and you really need to prove to OMB that you have the ability to manage them and manage them effectively in a way that you know, will attract federal agencies to use them. Because the intent really is to really promulgate these vehicles throughout the government so that there isn't so much duplication out there. There isn't this you know, continued proliferation of contracts that, you know, if federal agencies believe that these contracts are the go-to contracts, then, you know, it may detract from a lot of other contracts being created out there that are basically just a duplication of what's already existing.
Right. So, you know, when you look at your program overall, you know, you demonstrate they're necessary and meet a need. Is one of the things you looked at or you presented to OMB is how, you know, the purchases under your program have, you know, steadily grown over, you know, the last 10 years or so. Is that kind of data that you're providing, saying here, you know, we have a track record of managing these successful and the demand for our services and our contract vehicles has consistently increased? Is that kind of, I mean, because you're in a kind of unique situation or an enviable situation in that, as you know, looking at your numbers, they've gone up over the years. You can't say that about a lot of these contracts that are out there for IT. They're put in place and then nobody uses them, and you know, they go use yours or NASA SOUP or GSA's.
That's right. Yeah, so we have to show a track record. Actually, every year we have to submit to OMB an executive agent report that shows who uses the contracts, you know, what companies or what from industry are using the vehicle that they've been awarded, you know, the volume for each agency, what types of stuff they're buying from these IT contracts. So we have to show on an annual basis to OMB that, you know, that these contracts are growing, that there is still a necessary and a need for them throughout the government. So that's a big part of the business case, to be able to show that there's a strong track record, there's a strong infrastructure within the program to run these contracts with a great emphasis on quality and integrity of the procurement process throughout that process. And you know, so and we're proud of the fact that we're able to you know, to show this on an annual basis to OMB, right. And we're really encouraged by the significant growth that we've seen in these vehicles just over the past 3 years.
Right. So you know, last fiscal year, how much business did you do?
We did last year with the CIOSB3 vehicles and the ECS3 was over $4 billion.
Wow.
In IT procurements that were procured through these vehicles, and that's a significant growth. So what we're seeing is a great deal of emphasis being put on awareness of these vehicles, and we're going out there and trying to encourage federal agencies to consider these vehicles, but also you know, industry helps with that as well.
I mean,
they really, you know, when they see a vehicle that they, you know, want to work with, and that they see that there's a lot of federal agencies that are using it, you know, they're talking about it and they're getting the word out.
Right.
So, you know, with the increased use, we just see that's going to continue to grow over the next coming years, especially with the award of this new CIOCS vehicle, which really finishes our suite of IT contracts, and you know, so I think there's a lot of good things to come.
Right. So, your projections that you're going to meet or exceed that $4 billion this year?
Yeah, we hope to. But you know, we don't judge our program on sales. You know, we judge our program on building those strong relationships with our customers. And what we see is that we have a lot of repeat customers because, you know, we try to develop that close relationship with our customers, not just to get a transaction through, but we like to, you know, continue to, you know, work with our customers as partners throughout the procurement life cycle of a task or delivery order, not just.
So is it, for the listeners, do the task orders go through your office, you know, the statements work? I know you have a lot of tools to help agencies in terms of, you know, what the statement of work should look like, so some templates for them to use. Do you then place them the orders on their behalf and compete them, or is it a direct order, direct bill, or is it a little bit of both?
So it's a little bit of both. Most of our orders are direct order, direct bill. The federal agencies come to our, we have an IT system that they use called the Electronic Government Ordering System. So the federal agencies can come to that system. They place their statement of work or their requirements into that system. We review every single one of them, and we do a one-day turnaround, get that out to the industry partners to be able to submit bids. They submit the bids through this IT system. So it's a very streamlined process. Federal agencies then go in and they pick up their bids. They do the evaluation. They make award in their own contract writing system. So it's very seamless, what we try to do is to really help speed up the procurement cycle for those federal customers, but also work closely with our industry partners, you know, to help them, you know, be able to quickly turn around bids, to come up with solutions that the government's looking for. So it's really, most of it is done through direct order, but now we do have an assisted acquisition arm of our program, where we are assisting some federal agencies who are, you know, have a need for really help with IT procurement.
Right, and Rob, you know what, we do have to take a break, but when I come back, we'll talk a little bit about that assisted acquisition function, and we'll also, you know, get into a little bit more about CIOCS and then a few other, you know, questions about the support that you provide. My guest today is Rob Cohen. He is the director of NIH's GWAC, IT GWAC program, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The mission of government involves critical efforts to improve national defense, economic security, health services, and citizens' lives. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to help government address cyber threats, reform the financial system, modernize infrastructure, and protect our nation. For nearly 100 years, Booz Allen has partnered with clients to deliver results that endure. To see Booz Allen's ideas in action, visit BoozAllen.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Rob Cohen. He is the director of NIH's IT GWAC program. And, you know, Rob, when we took the break, you started talking a little bit about this new function you have, this assisted acquisition function. But I just wanted to follow up on a couple areas that we talked about in the first segment before we get into the assisted acquisition piece. And that's, yeah, you know, we talked about the OMB reports, and I know OMB asked for you for all kinds of information. And one of the things I think that's interesting, you know, data point is, you know, the level of competition for the task order at the task order level that you're seeing, and, you know, what are you seeing there, and what's the kind of information OMB asks you in that area?
Sure. So we report to OMB the average number of bids that received on each task and delivery order that's competed on our vehicles. So we're seeing about 3 to 5 bids per order on our vehicles, and it ranges, and it, you know, we also report the average time that a customer leaves a requirement out there for bid, and we're seeing 20, 30 days, but it depends on how complex the requirement is. Most of the DoD orders we receive are at least 30 days on the street because they want to meet that requirement that they have. So, you know, years and years ago, we had an issue where we were seeing, you know, 1 to 2 bids per task order. So we aggressively had a campaign working with industry to really increase and to find out why, and then to, you know, partnering with industry to, you know, develop a way that we can ensure that we have sufficient competition on these task and delivery orders. And we are seeing that. We're seeing 3 to 5 bids. Customers are very pleased with that. And they're seeing quality bids, and that's what's important. It's not just that they receive a substantial number of bids, that they're receiving quality bids with substantial, you know, with the competition in there and the aggressive pricing strategies. You know, so with the decreasing budgets and all that going on out there, I think that, you know, we're seeing, you know, customers that are pleased with the competition they're getting on these vehicles.
Right. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about the numbers in the first segment of sales and the fact that your program is, you know, steadily increasing, did over $4 billion last year, you know, at a time when budgets are decreasing. I think people speaking with their dollars and their feet and going to your program is a testament to the success and getting competition and delivering value. And in the face of all, you know, declining budgets and, you know, procurement staffs being shrunk, you've decided to go into the assisted services world and provide additional acquisition support for your vehicles. Can you talk about, you know, what prompted you to do that and what it entails and what customers can expect? That's sort of three different questions.
So we saw, we had a great deal of customers coming to us and asking could you provide us this assistance? We have shrinking resources within our agencies, and we don't necessarily have the strength in IT procurement, which is a little bit different than a lot of other types of procurement. So we were seeing an increase in requests coming from federal agencies to ask for this type of service, which is basically the service to do the contracting for the customer, to do the whole acquisition lifecycle from acquisition planning right through to award and management of that and administration of those task orders. So we worked to develop an infrastructure within our program with warranted FACC level 3 contracting officers. We set up a department within the program that is fully devoted to serving customers who have that need. It's really to not to have a huge number of we're not trying to be GSA in assisted acquisitions. What we're trying to do is to support those customers who have a need, those customers who come to us and they say, we're struggling here, can you help us? We're there to support them, and it's part of that whole the idea of having a suite of contracts, but also having a full customer service model to support our customers. And we saw that this was a growing need, and so we addressed that need by setting up this infrastructure, and it's really working out well. We've got some really satisfied customers who are, using this assisted acquisition service. We have set up a model within our program which is a very agile process. To do these procurements. We have people in our office that have 20, 30 years of experience in IT procurements. That's what they do. That's what they know. So they're really able
to
assist those customers.
Those people are worth their weight in gold, right? I mean, in a federal market. So how long has the assisted acquisition function been in place or the division been in place?
So we started it off last year as a pilot program to see how it would go, and this year it's full. It's a full service that we're providing to all of the civilian agencies. We are not doing it for the DOD customers yet. We're looking to see how it goes with the civilian agencies, and it seems to be going very, very well. The customers are very satisfied. They're getting what they need. So we will, look at doing DOD in the next coming year.
Right. What's the pipeline look like? How many customers have signed up and used it? I know it's not a huge function because, Ryan, you don't want to be GSA, but what does that look like in terms of the volume?
The volume of about, we have about 20 customers right now who are using it. Most of them are at higher dollar value, complex procurements that they really need assistance with. Again, it's about not about volume for us. It's not about transactions, trying to push through transactions for us. We're trying to meet those complex needs that the government has out there. We have a unique infrastructure that is devoted to those complex IT type requirements, and that's what we're there to support.
Right. So with DOD, if you move into that area, does that mean you bring on some additional capability? I mean, DOD a little bit different, right? DFARS and other potentially unique. IT requirements.
We've had a lot of success in attracting some very good talent to our program.
Okay, very good.
Past few years.
You said that with a big smile on your face. That's good.
It's something that, I put a lot of emphasis on is the people that work in the program, because it's basically, we're a customer support organization, and we're there to support everybody in the federal government who needs this type of help. And the people that do that in my office are the ones who, are credited with being successful in this area. I mean, we can't do anything without those strong capabilities of the people that work in the program to do this. So over the past couple of years, we've attracted some very good talent from DOD, some contracting officers who have had a great deal of experience working in IT procurement in DOD. So we are ready to hit the road when we go after and to start to do those DOD orders. And we have a strong relationship with the Department of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy Office with Mike Canales and those folks over there. So they're always there to assist us and to fall back on with DOD policy.
Right. So, you know, from your perspective, when you're doing this assisted service, is there one challenge in particular? Is it just, you know, understanding the customer's requirements? What, you know, when you think about the biggest challenge for an organization like yours when you're doing assisted, this new area, what is there something that, you know, strikes you or something that surprised you?
No, I mean, I think that these types of procurements that we're doing are highly complex. I mean, they're typically very high dollar complex requirements, and it takes a lot of relationship building with our customers and getting to know the contracting officer representatives and the corps on these types of deals and developing relationships with them. We spend an awful lot of time sitting down with our customer at their agency, going through these types of procurements. We have many of these highly complex procurements that have been awarded, where we continue to meet with the customer and work through issues or challenges they have throughout the administration of that contract. So, it's back to customer service. We're there to support those customers in every step of the process, and you know, we're a partner with them in this effort.
Right. So, little information for the listeners: who should they contact if, you know, if you're a customer agency, you know, wanting to, you know, take advantage of your assisted services and your suite of contracts?
So you can go to our website and you'll find the customer support line as well as the customer support email. We direct all of our customers to send in an email to nitacsupport@nih.gov. And whether it's an assisted acquisition need or just a general IT question that you have regarding an acquisition you have going on, we support. You know, one of the things that we do is, spend a lot of time hand-holding assisting customers, whether they use our contracts or not. We're there to support them.
Right.
And they have complex IT questions with respect to procurement. We're there to help them, and that's what we're there to do.
Okay. Hey, Rob, we have to take our next break. My guest today is Rob Cohen. He is the director of NIH's IT GWAC program. And when we come back, we'll talk about the latest addition to the NIH suite of IT GWACs, that is CIOCS. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Rob Cohen. He is the director of NIH's IT GWAC program. And Rob, when we took the break, I mentioned the latest addition to your suite of contracts. It's CIOCS, and just awarded in April, and just had your kickoff meeting last week, actually. I got an opportunity to come. I appreciated that opportunity to speak to the contractors and to your team there. It was a great event. So what is CIO? Just to start with the basics, what is CIOCS and how does it fill out your suite of contract vehicles?
So CIOCS is developed as a complement to the CIOSP3 GWACs, where CIOSP3 is really the services solutions strategic type acquisition vehicle for IT. CIOCS is more of a tactical vehicle where it's really addressing the need for IT products and related services, but also with a great deal of emphasis on the off-premises model, where we're looking at software as a service and the cloud-type environment, the managed-type services, those new and evolving technologies that are out there that agencies are looking at. So the vehicle was recently awarded. We had the kickoff last week, we have 65 contract awards on that.
Oh,
vehicle.
Wow, okay.
And 45 of them are for small businesses. So we're very happy to have a suite of contractors that are able to meet all of the socioeconomic set-aside categories. So we have 8A contractors. We have Hub Zone. We have set-asides for service-disabled veteran and women-owned businesses and economically disadvantaged women-owned businesses. So government customers can come to this vehicle for those IT product and managed service needs
and
break them up and compete in those different pools of set-asides.
Yeah, that's the question. You actually read my mind as I say, so, you know, customers can. They can come to you and say, okay, I'm looking to increase my 8A goaling numbers, whatever, and they can limit the competition to the 8As who are in that particular pool, so to speak. I don't want to use the term pool because GSA uses that a lot. But in that category on the contract, they can set it aside.
It's basically a set-aside grouping within the vehicle. Okay. A very flexible way we've set it up so that the customer can come and they're looking for, you know, full and open competition. They can go across the board and have all 65 contractors have a chance to bid on it. Or they can come and they can say, listen, I just want to, you know, really focus on service-disabled veteran businesses because I have a need in that area to meet goaling. You know, they can compete it within that group of contractors. So it's very sort of dynamic way that we've set it up, and it's very simple the way we've set it up in our system, electronic government ordering system, so the customer can come in, very quickly make that decision, see the list of contractors in each of those groups, and be able to select which set aside that they want to, compete their business in.
So one of the things, so when can agencies, when are they going to be able to use it? The kickoff meeting, I think you talked about timeframes there, but what?
So actually, we opened the contract up for business on May 1st, and okay. That was just a few weeks ago, and. The first day we opened up the contract, we saw a significant volume of business coming through the contract right away. So
really? Congratulations.
There's a lot of buzz out there about this contract, and because this contract isn't set up like any other contract in the government. We're really focusing on meeting those strategic challenges that CIOs have, but also, still being able to buy your laptops, your servers, your switches, whatever it is that you need from an IT equipment standpoint. But really focusing on those challenging, new, evolving technologies, and really trying to address that need out there in the government.
Right. So, when you did your business case analysis for this, did you focus on the market as a whole? Did you identify particular customers that you felt would be more inclined because of their positive experience with your program, who would be inclined to use it? What did you look for with regard to projecting trends for this contract?
Yeah, we talked to the existing customers that we have in developing this contract, and they gave us a lot of advice in where they felt that there was a need that they really wanted addressed. And a lot of that had to do with that offsite model and those managed type services.
Like the cloud. Software as a service.
Software as a service And so we really, when we developed the RFP for this contract, we really were looking for companies that were able to meet that need. It was a very rigorous source selection process. You'll see this contract, as I said, only has 65 awards. And there's a reason for that. Because we developed an RFP with a very challenging, to industry to be able to show that they're going to be able to meet these needs, but not just the needs of today. But they're able to meet those needs, those evolving and changing needs over the next 10 years. It's a 10-year vehicle. And they had to be able to show that they're going to be able to evolve with the change in IT and also with the changing needs that the government has.
So you structured the contract, too, to be flexible to evolve over time in terms of, where the cloud goes or how these offsite sort of services evolve in the future. The contract allows customers to adapt to that. Is that
absolutely? And one of the things this contract allows is for industry to, on a daily basis, add new technologies to the vehicle. So we have a mechanism in which they can have a one-day turnaround in adding new technologies to the vehicle, adding new CLINs, and we're able to get that out there to our customers within one day of things evolving. So that's attractive to industry. That's attractive to government customers and. So we tried to, develop it with spending a lot of time talking to industry about how this could look and how this can work. And then also talking to the federal customers out there. And, we've seen over the past 3 or 4 years that almost every federal agency is using our vehicles. So, that this is growing and we want to be able to address those challenges that the CIOs have.
Right, and apparently no protests, huh?
We had some issues up front when we did the first cut, and we dealt with them, we're smooth and running.
When you're up and running on May 1st and getting orders and stuff, I credit that
to the team of people in my office that work closely to develop the RFP, but also go through the source selection process for these companies. Right. And it was challenging because there was a great deal of volume of proposals that came in.
Sure.
But we were able to narrow it down to the best of the best, and we have 65 awardees that I believe are the best companies out there to be able to deliver these services for our government.
Right. Is one of the things, too, I'm just interested in this, is communication, just the communication with industry about what you're doing, how are you doing it, and communication with your customer base. It seems to me that mitigates a lot of risk when you have that open communication. Did you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. I mean, we worked with organizations like Coalition for Government Procurement and a lot of other organizations to get the word out. But way before we did an RFP for this, to really get input from industry. And that's one of the things that we do now with our customers, is we aggressively, encourage them to do RFIs, do, special announcements through our system just for task and delivery orders. We want to give as much lead time to industry for their input.
Sure.
For our customers as well. And we're seeing a lot more of that, which is very encouraging because I feel that, one of the things that makes a good procurement is input from industry, is the partnership with industry to really help develop that in such a way that's going to be able to work. And so we're seeing that our customers are really learning that is a good mechanism to develop a good acquisition strategy, is to really talk with industry. It's sort of that back in the, the myth busting.
I was waiting for that term to come out. That's very good. I was going to mention, if you did not, it's like.
But I truly believe in that. And I really try to push it out there to our customers to say, hey, listen, you have this procurement coming up 6 months out. Let's get the word out there now. Let's get industry's input into this so that as you develop your final statement of work or your RFP, that you've addressed those concerns up front.
Right. So, hey, Rob, we're at our last break. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Rob Cohen. He is the director of NIH's IT GWAC program, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Rob Cohen. He is the director of NIH's IT GWAC program. And, Rob, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, I know you do a lot of consultation for customers. Even if they choose not to use your contract, you provide them feedback on IT requirements and sort of stuff. What kind of acquisition-related training does your program offer for customers that they could theoretically use in the context of your program, or maybe perhaps if they decide to do something on their own, sort of good, what are you doing in that area?
Sure. So we have a training program that we have set up in our office, where we go out to federal agencies and do a 1.5-2 hour training that gives CLPs to the attendees. It's a training for both IT program staff and also acquisition staff throughout the government. It really runs through what is a GWAC, how does it work, and it actually walks them through how to place an order through our vehicles. But it's really, I like to attend a lot of them because it's really, grows your passion and commitment to this program, because you sit there and you're talking to contracting officers who go, wow, I didn't know about this. Because the biggest challenge from my perspective in running this type of program is awareness. These programs have been around for a lot of time, but there hasn't been a lot of emphasis put on training those people on the ground who are placing IT orders, that GWACs are a valid option that they should be considering when they're doing IT procurement. So we do this sort of classroom type training. We also do webinars on a weekly basis for our customers, go around and also spend a lot of time participating in agency specific training. They ask us to come and speak at it. So we're trying to get the word out. We're trying to just get the word out so that those contracting officers and those IT professionals out there, they know that this is a valid option. And if they think that it might fit, they can certainly call us. We're there to assist them, to walk them through the process. You don't have to take a training in order to place an order on our contracts. One of the things that I did many years ago when we were developing our system to process the orders through our contracts is I said, I want my daughter was 7 years old at the time. I said, I want my 7-year-old daughter to be able to place an order through this contract. And walk through every single step of what is needed from the procurement integrity perspective, but also from the federal acquisition regulation perspective, to make sure that the contracting officer is addressing every one of those key components of this transaction. So, you know, as I said, you don't have to take a training, but we do encourage federal agencies to reach out to us, and we will come to their facility and do this training, and attendees get the CLPs. So that's something that we've built a strong foundation around, is the training effort that we do to get the word out and to really help those contracting officers understand what is a GWAC and how does it operate.
Right. And when you get new contractors, like you've awarded the CIOCS, you had your kickoff meeting. It's, you also are helping the contractors understand how this thing is going to work moving forward so they can better compete.
So right? Absolutely. I mean, one of the strong components of our program is the partnership with industry. We will go out and visit with each one of our contract holders on an annual basis. We do a briefing to their upper management, as well as their whole team of partners who have got an award on this contract, to really walk them through. Hey, if you're doing really well, we're showing you what you're doing, and giving you some pointers on maybe where you can do some improvements. But those companies who may not be doing so well, we're there to support them. We really want every single contractor that gets an award on these vehicles to be active and to do well. I mean, this is about, a partnership. These contractors spent a lot of time and resources to bid and to get on these vehicles.
Sure,
we want
yeah.
them to be successful. And we want them to be successful because we feel, and when we gave them an award, we felt that they had something to offer. And they have, some things that the government is looking for that they're able to provide, and we
right,
want them
sure.
to be able to know that and support them to be successful in these efforts.
Right. Hey, so another area that I know it's ever present in IT procurement these days, and it's always seems to be in the headlines one way or the other, and that's cyber and cybersecurity. On your contract vehicles, what are you seeing in terms of trends in the cyber arena?
So we are seeing a lot more procurements coming through our vehicles that are dealing with the cybersecurity challenges. We're working with our customers to make sure that they're addressing those cybersecurity challenges that they have. But, right now it seems like every different federal agency has different types of requirements, and we're trying to help them with that. But looking forward to a time when there's government-wide requirements, it will certainly help industry so that they're not having to go out there and change how they're having to deal with cybersecurity issues when they're dealing with different agencies. But we are seeing an increase in the task and delivery orders coming through for cybersecurity.
Right, and are you seeing the demand for cloud and software service? Are there other emerging sort of technologies that are out there that you see potential growth areas for your
Certainly
program?
The managed services area and the cloud services area is growing, and I see that I see that growth incrementally growing over the next few years, and we're really, assisting customers to be able to set up and to set up those types of procurements that are a little bit different than maybe 10 years ago. Nobody ever thought about how to, buy managed services.
Sure.
But,
mm-hmm.
but today that's the trend.
Or they didn't think about it well. Right.
Right.
Right. So, one of the things I wanted to ask you about too, is given the growth of the program, overall program last few years, who are your biggest customers that are your returning folks who continue to see, more value out of using your vehicles?
Sure. So, of course, we're housed at the National Institutes of Health. They're a very large customer of ours. We're there to support them with all their IT needs. The Department of Health and Human Services, one of the largest buyers in the federal government, is a very large customer. But then DOD, always number one or two. They have an awful lot of challenges
money.
To be met
and
money.
Yeah.
We have Department of Justice is a very large customer, Department of Homeland Security. A lot of smaller agencies, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. We're supporting every federal agency out there right now. Department of Commerce is a customer, Department of Labor. Some of the larger customers that we're dealing with, but we have customers from the Small Business Administration, a lot of those independent agencies who need the help with the resources to to get these IT procurements done. So, our goal is to make sure that as many federal customers out there know about us, and that when they have a need, that they know that they can call upon us.
Right. So, you know, I think this will be the last question I have for you, but, you know, now you're in a great spot here. You've got your CIOS SP3 contracts in place for a good 7 years or so. You just awarded CIOCS. Will be in place for 10 years. You've launched your assisted acquisition. So you've got your suite of vehicles there. Are there other things you're looking at, or are you going to pause and sort of focus on these things right now, or are there areas where you see opportunities or things you're looking at doing?
My staff will certainly tell you that I will never stop process improvement efforts within
our
program.
Absolutely.
Evolving and changing as industry changes and as the government's needs change, we will continue to do that. We have an effort within our office right now to become CMMI Level 3 certified for all of our processes to show that the quality of what we do and the integrity in every process from the procurement process right through our customer service processes. So we have a lot of efforts in place to develop CRM systems within our office, always looking at process improvement within our program because, you know, we'll continue to evolve just like everybody else is evolving. And that's the challenge, and that's which drives my passion is to always be managing change and becoming better and to support our customers. I mean, it's what we're here for.
Right. And you know what, Rob? That's a great way to end the show. I want to thank my guest today, Rob Cohen. He is the director of NIH's IT GWAC program, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.